So my name's Matty, and I'm here with my Radical Roots hat on, lacking though I am in a hat. I've been involved for 4 or 5 years. I was the secretary, I was the agenda secretary, and I helped set up One Co-op in Swansea and moved into a very well established co-op that I think is only a year younger than I am in Leeds a few years ago. So if you have questions, I thought I'd set this as a bit of an open session. If you have questions about housing co-ops, and if you don't, then I can just ramble at you about them until you want me to stop. Excellent. So do you want to provide yourself with names?
Okay. So I'm Mike, I'm from Manchester. I'm not in a housing co-op. I've had dealings with housing co-ops. What's my interest? Well, I suppose it's sort of maybe a critical point of view on the politics side, but on the practical side, quite interested as a means of dealing with the private property aspects of capital in a more cooperative way. So I'm involved with a small group that's looking at setting up a co-housing set up in Manchester, but it's a friends group really, so it's not particularly political. I'm quite interested in that side of people's experience of getting on
in
co-ops. Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of broader-based co-ops, you know, which are essentially mixtures of tenanted housing, really, but with the structure that's positive and the ownership. So I suppose from my point of view, I'm just curious, really. I've come to this particular meeting and you were doing the meeting, I thought I'll come and just have a chat. But that's my only interest, really. Politically, I'm not sure, because I don't really know what Radical Roots really imagines they're doing, you know, can achieve as a broader movement. Probably a bit critical about that.
I'm Jack. I've heard a bit about housing co-ops, but I really don't know. I've sort of heard them tentatively mentioned as a possible sort of solution to a few areas that I've heard about their use in the United States and New York. But apart from that, blank slate, I actually don't know. So looking to find out.
Came for the Bakunin, stayed for the cops. Right,
I'm Hugh, and I've just been sort of interested in finding more about it, because I know some people who have either are starting up or basically joined them, so I want to just know a bit more about it.
I'm Donna, some friends and I want to set up a housing co-op in Sheffield, so I'm just gathering as much evidence as I can. we've had a few meetings and stuff like that and gone to visit a few other co-ops, so we're at the stage now where we're trying to work out how we're going to do it.
How you can do it.
Yeah.
All right. Should you have any specific questions about your situation, just grab me afterwards.
Okay,
I can probably
amazing.
Give you like a stack of paper that you can go home and roll around in.
Okay, amazing.
Alright. Well, yeah, it seems like there's a good mix of knowledge about housing co-ops. I mean, like, I got into them from moving away from home to go to university and then going, oh, hell no to this. Becoming friends with some people who were setting up a housing co-op and basically getting into it through it being a way of getting to know a group of people that I liked. If there was work to do, I would get to know them, and became involved in Radical Roots through the two main people who were setting up the co-op, or whose kind of thought child it was, saying, oh, this is a thing called Radical Roots, it's pretty good. And what Radical Roots does, it's for people who don't know about it, it's an umbrella organisation of workers' co-ops, housing co-ops and social centres, so who all must show some work towards radical social change, be that what it is, like whatever. But we have co-ops full of ex-animal rights activists who are still involved in stuff, co-ops full of queer activists, co-ops full of environmental activists, people doing all sorts of things all over the place, not all of which is exciting and arrestable. And it's all organised non-hierarchically. Anyone can turn up to our gatherings that happen once a quarter, and basically the idea is to foster mutual aid and mutual support around providing people with housing that is... Well, the original idea was for people who were involved in direct direct action and activism to be able to have housing that they could afford that wouldn't chuck them out if they got arrested. And as time's gone on, it's become become its own animal in lots of different directions. So there is still that aspect, but we try and walk the fine line between being affordable housing for people that fosters a sense of community and mutual aid, whilst not falling into the cheap DOS house. Well, you can just live here and not do anything side that is a slippery slope that a lot of intentional community can go into. I think a few of you said you said you had experience of co-ops.
Well, no, because I worked in the house. I worked as a housing worker in Sitcamps, and I worked with housing associations. And there are housing co-ops in most.
Yes.
But most of them are fairly traditional. In the sense that they've gone through the housing, what was then the housing corporation route, to get funding and to set up affordable housing schemes with mutual management arrangements. But that's just basic alternative route to as a form of social housing. So probably the people I know in Manchester that involved it, which is in like Levenshulme and Wandsworth area. But so you know, the people that helped set it up were probably fairly political. But the co-op isn't political.
No,
it's just
not
a co-op. It's just a housing co-op, and it's a useful function for the people involved. So I'm not sure about this. I mean, I'm just interested. Obviously, it's very much more directional, radical routes. The thing I'm involved in at the moment is just trying to set up a code housing group, which might look to use the cooperative property model, or might not. Depends. So we're still exploring that. But really, it's just a group of friends, and I don't think we share that politics. But you know, we're probably not. You know, if we were a mixture of Tories and fascists, and I'm trying to use the most extreme things I can think of, we wouldn't be able to do it. So we're obviously not totally incompatible in terms of our personal politics, but in terms of our broader analytical politics or activities, I would say we're not in agreement, and some of it is opposition. But we get on.
It's something that I'm a bit of a policy head. I quite like documenting things and getting everything as solid as possible before you enter into it, so that you've got something to fall back on when there is a conflict.
Yeah.
That no one has to make up how to fix it, because it's already done.
Mm.
And with what you're saying about being a group of people who get on, but politics, like, it's useful to differentiate between, like, the... So, for example, Radical Roots has its own model rules, which are model rules that anyone can use for setting up housing co-op. And they're basically the legal skeleton of having a housing co-op that is legally sound. In it, it's our rules are for housing co-ops ruled by... You have to be a tenant to be a member to be a tenant, and the co-op is ruled by all of the tenants, all of whom are members, as opposed to having like a management committee. But beyond that, so that could be used by anyone. The secondary rules are made by each co-op, and they're the ideology of the thing, or the practicalities of the thing itself, like what you lot want to be into, what you lot want to be doing. And that would be for you lot to sit down and go, what do we want to do? Do we want to just put politics over here in a box and just not deal with it? Like, where do we want to go with this?
I mean, when you're saying, like, all of the, like, everyone rules it, basically, like, how do you sort of decide? Is it, like, sort of by consensus that the people just sort of go ahead with something and see what works?
For better or worse, and it does come up to debate quite a lot, the Radical Roots model rules do have, they encourage use of consensus, and culturally this is kind of what we do. We make decisions by consensus. Some co-ops have, well, Radical Roots itself has a fallback for majority vote in really, really limited circumstances. Like, no, this decision really needs to be made, it's really important. Well, we'll have to do this then, won't we? But predominantly, decisions are made by consensus. The organisation as a whole, so we'll have gatherings every quarter. Each co-op sends at least one representative for apologies. All decisions about who's going to be a member, or if we're going to give someone a loan, or if we want to associate with these people over here, are made after. So it's all announced in the agenda. People come to the gathering having read the agenda, hopefully, with the opinions of their co-op, and decisions are made by consensus. And it's surprisingly efficient for a room full of people going like this. It kind of works pretty well. But yeah. Have you done much consensus decision making? Have you experienced
it? Yeah, a little bit. But I think it can sometimes depend on the people who are there. Because there are some people who will just never sort of come to a consensus because they've been having some consensus talk. I can see that it would work.
I guess the idea would be that you would just be in housing court with people who are, you know, similar political. Mind, I think, if you were in with a different group of people, I think you just have to sit around a table for quite some like, time and decide on some things. But I guess, for us, you know, we have very clear things about what we'd like housing co-op to be. So I think we'd have quite similar views on a lot of things. I think it would be a lot easier.
Yeah, it's.
I didn't tell you just to say. I mean, the big issue with all of these things, I think, was, you know, when people get together, if they know each other, they know each other well, there's always the assumption that that's it. We know where we stand, we believe in ideas, we've got to keep the change.
Mm-hmm.
People don't stay the same. You know, their politics change.
Yeah.
Maybe other things change, you know.
They'll
start off as vegans and then somebody wants to eat meat. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. That's the sort of tricky area, I think, yeah. Especially as, I suppose the other side of it on a broader scale is the fact that we're only dealing with tenancy arrangements here, so I suppose that you have at least got that situation that, you know, a tenant, if somebody falls out, then it's not the end of the world, they don't put all their money into it, basically.
Yeah.
So I suppose they can become a tenant somewhere else, or if they've got money, they can buy something, or whatever. But so I suppose that is a benefit. On the other hand, there aren't that many co-ops, you know. I know obviously the idea is to spread it, but you know, people's options for sort of flexibility, mobilisation, moving job, it's not that straightforward, is it?
No, I mean, the idea would be that you'd have different co-ops you'd be able to join, but then fit your political ideology better.
I mean, what I've generally found being a Radical Roots, but both co-ops that I've been in, I think both of which I was in for about 2.5 years, knocking on 3 years on one. At some point, there was one, at least one, cluster of unpleasantness. Like,
how do you deal with it then? So, what do you do?
So, from having helped other co-ops from the outside, because I'll tell you both. So, there was a co-op in Bradford who were having problems. It was looking like they're going to have to wind it. They were saying that they thought they'd have to wind up, and asked for mediation. Well, not really mediation so much as someone from Radical Roots to come along and help facilitate the meeting so that the three or four people that were still remaining in the co-op could talk to each other without one of them having to constantly facilitate. And in the course of that 2.5 hour meeting, it went from, we've got to wind up the co-op and give all the loan stock money back, how are we going to get the loan stock money back, to, okay, so it's your job to go and get new members, it's your job to do this, you're going to sort this out, we need to have a meeting every week to make sure we're not all going nuts. And it really was just as simple as, but it doesn't, we aren't taught to go and ask anyone apart from our family for help a lot of the time, like in the course of our lives. Family and must be friends. So when sort of a conflict happens in all aspects of life, people quite often don't think to just go, can someone help me with this? Which is the mutual aid thing. We big up the mutual aid and remind people to come and ask for it. Because in a lot of conflicts, someone from the outside coming to give perspective to it and usually no input of their own, but just to give it a perspective, does lead to things being resolved, because usually people just want to be heard and need to stop interacting with each other like at loggerheads constantly and have a bit of space. Like like you were saying with, there was a co-op in Nottingham, I think, that had been set up by vegans who had never bothered writing into their rules that the house was vegan, because they just assumed it would always be vegan. And then someone turned up and was like, I'm just going to eat some cheese. This is just going to happen. No one told me it was a problem. It just doesn't say anything in the rules, which I read, so... Which then led to people sitting down and working out, right, okay, that's fair enough. How are we going to solve this? I suppose the co-ops that I deal with are peculiar in their political bent and in their emphasis on mutual aid and emphasis on whether or not specifically labelled anarchist principles. And there is a general inclination to sort things out on a relatively solvent level, which, well, is a good thing, but isn't necessarily the easiest answer for a lot of people when they're in a different kind of co-op and have a conflict, and you go, well, try being an anarchist, that'll solve all your problems. That's the answer to everything.
That's the beginning of it, I believe. Sorry.
But yeah, having good solid structures where you don't, no individual needs to uphold a law that was mentioned in passing in conversation when the co-op was set up, getting everything hashed out so that the co-op has an identity of its own and some sort of collective identity so that it's not dependent on all the members to be having a good time all the time for it to work. The co-op itself is an entity and it does suffer if it's not maintained. Co-op sort of losing, beginning with a really strong identity of being an activist co-op, being a vegan co-op, or being a queer co-op, and as time goes on, that identity being lost because everyone just assumed it would always be like that. It won't, unless you make it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a bit like having a pet that you live in. You kind of got to keep it fed and watered and happy and.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's...
And I guess a lot of that is to do with having your meetings and, you know, having that kind of environment where it is quite easy to bring things up and...
Sort of maintain the sort of dialogue where you can sit down with people you're in a co-op and go, why are we doing this again? And you go, these reasons. Okay, an aggregate of that is pretty good. Let's continue with our lives.
Yeah.
Now, does that all sound reasonable, or does some of that just sound madness?
It's fairly obvious that it's a bit. I mean, I suppose the other thing is just, I don't know, because people might start off with a sort of a political or other agenda. You know, that doesn't mean they all know each other. So the other side of it is, you do need to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, we, in our little group, we sort of, it was funny because I think some people knew each other better than others, but sort of made a big effort to sort of sit down and go through our histories. And where we see where we're coming from in terms of our background, you know, our family background and, you know, our sort of attitudes and things. But having said that, I think we've got so far, we've done that, in my opinion, still quite cursory, but we've had two meetings like that, and there's only like 9 or 10 of us sort of thing. So, you know, but I think that's probably quite important, because otherwise you can get a situation where you've got some people that know each other really well, and maybe a couple of others have done, and then it's just assumptions made. Because we're all together and everybody knows each other, so we don't work on assumptions really. So I think it's
part of
the same process, isn't it? It's quite a lot of work really to do that. I think there's some bigger questions I'll ask you later.
Oh, we've got plenty of time, it's only 25 past. Stay in this room forever. So you're currently on a mission to set up a housing co-op.
Yeah.
Do you want to just say what that's going to be?
So there's four of us who are interested in doing it. We've all vegans. We've all been or are involved with animal rights and various other political things, like a lot of them inside the community, agriculture and horticulture and stuff like that. We would like it to be kind of a space where people can use it as a social centre as well, so that there's a space where people can use it with like a little library and things in there so that people can use the room to do meetings and things like that. So ideally we'd like it to have like a separate little space where people can have to rent out, you know, for free.
Yeah.
Because we all have this vision of having more of a kind of a little hub of activity going on for various things that we want to do. Like we like to do a lot of like catering and things like that, vegan catering and stuff, so we wanted like a kitchen that we could do our catering from and stuff like that. But yeah, that's our kind of vision for it. We wanted about 6 to 8 people, but we've got about 4 who are interested. So we're thinking, you know, we're just basically trying to work out now whether we, you know, I think we want to go through the radical routes. Whether we don't really know, like, how we'll show that we're making, like, a social or a community impact. Do you see what I mean? Like, we want to make sure that we definitely are. And we weren't sure, really, if just being activists ourselves and offering it out to social spaces kind of enough for us to kind of be, you know, be able to get funding.
It's an ongoing interesting quirk of the Radical Roots sort of policy document / mythos, because we do expect people who apply to join to care about something that is socially useful in a sort of non-hierarchical, aiming at non-oppressive, although we're all oppressing people all the time, but you know, we're shooting the start. Like that sort of ilk of activism that quite often does fall into like the animal rights, environmental activism, anti-fascism triangle.
Yeah.
That's got all sorts of stuff swirling around it, but it is quite often in that triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And an ongoing problem that we have is that there is this social change rule, that the 16 hours a week social change rule.
Yeah.
So sort of meet people and they go, really like to join, but we're kind of scared of the 16 hours a week rule.
Yeah.
I was
wondering how you kind of show that you're doing that, or like what counts as it, sort of thing.
It's an anachronism. It's left over from a period where it was expected that most people in Radical Roots Housing Co-ops would be on job seekers. Oh, was it job seekers then in the early 90s? It wasn't, was it?
It was in the anti. Movement. Yeah, that's long gone now.
Yeah.
Things are even worse now.
Things are even worse now, but it was you couldn't be doing more than 16 hours a week, so 16 hours a week social change works, so that you could still sign on and get your claim.
Yeah, because all 4 of us are in full-time employment, but we all do something. Our jobs are all very kind of based around.
But yeah, that rule was so that it was sort of a fail-safe to prevent Radical Roots Housing Co-ops from basically becoming sort of cheap houses with people that didn't care about things in them.
Yeah.
And time's gone on, and it's like I was saying earlier with coming up with good rules, is that really served its purpose at the time, as far as I can gather, I know what's around then.
Yeah.
And by this point, it's this monster in a cupboard that kind of jumps out at new members.
Okay.
But we're in the process of coming up with a new and more relevant way of quantifying, we want you to care about the fact that the world's horribly broken and help us do something about it.
We had a feeling that we really wanted it to be more of a community based thing, so that we could, like, for example, you know, the brunches and stuff that we always used to do, and they were brilliant and they were, you know, a really nice social event, but we'd always have to do them in our houses, and our houses are really small. We wanted to be able to have quite like a big kitchen so that people could come and have brunch. And you know,
you always want to take you to a pub, don't you?
Yeah. Like, basically, something like that would be amazing. And we do have, like, because we do a lot of food and catering and stuff like that. And it's always vegan. And we wanted people to be able to use that space as well. So if they wanted to do some kind of events, so they could come and do it. But also have a more political stance to it, so that, you know, the library's there for people to use and stuff. But we were, but I was just wondering whether, you know, that would be enough if we were running that kind of space, you know, that people could access.
And so the best thing you can do is, the next gathering is in Derbyshire, it's in Belper.
Oh, well, that's close.
So it's pretty close.
When is it?
August. I think it's the second or third weekend of August. Yeah, I've got my diary by the stall.
Pull up and check out.
And just rock up and go, yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
We are these people. We do these things.
We want to do this.
Have you? Are you completely embryonic at the minute? Have you like registered or?
We haven't registered everything. We've had a few meetings to discuss what we wanted it to be, okay. And what our tasks were. And our tasks were to go and visit some co-ops in the meantime, so that we could discuss stuff with them,
okay.
And also read the stuff online. But I've read this, for example, in and out. But I haven't got a physical copy in and out. I think that will be the next stage.
We've got guys on setting up housing co-ops and social centres.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that would be perfect.
Spread them to the wind.
Yeah. So I'll tell the other three that this is going on, so they can all go.
I can't remember what they were called, though. There was a co-op that almost was called Shiro.
I've never heard of Shiro.
I don't know if some of them are still knocking about, because they might be worth talking to. So I think they incorporated and then had to abandon it.
Right. Were they based in Sheffield?
Yeah.
Tried
to put Ollie.
And Danielli and that lot.
Tried to buy
a pub. It was in, yes, I know, because I remember I went to see that property and stuff with them. I didn't realise they were called Shiro.
It's possible they're not.
Yeah.
But I might have just completely...
But they abandoned it, didn't they? But yeah, that is a kind of very similar thing,
yeah.
Actually.
Excellent. So I was going to say, might want to have a chat with them.
I will, actually, because I have had a chat with a couple of them already, but maybe another one would be useful. Yeah.
I think that it's possible, but not generally recommended. We don't recommend that you do it. Is that if you've got a co-op who incorporated, had a name, and then couldn't do anything with it, you can get their name and incorporation off of them, and then you can be that co-op. The problem is that you're left very open if any dodginess occurred. It's your problem now.
Okay.
It doesn't matter the fact that it's different people. It goes with the...
Put two on the end of it.
Return of the co-op. A good day to co-op hard. But yeah, so that's things possible. There's a co-op in Radical Roots called Gung Ho, who are based in Birmingham, who were originally called Enidwana, because they bought their name off of a co-op in Oxford.
Okay. And are they a similar
They're quite closely tied to Birmingham Bike Foundry. I think Birmingham Bike Foundry contains only members of Gung Ho, actually.
Okay.
Who are bike projects. They're all pretty heavily... Yeah, I'm pretty sure at least two of them are pretty heavily involved in IWW and sort of workers' rights stuff.
Yeah, cool.
Possibly all of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So co-ops.
They sound really good. I mean, I've just realised how much I don't know about this area of activism. Like, housing activists. I mean, it sounds really good. I mean, what is the process of actually getting one set up? I mean, is it that Radical Roots has... a certain amount of money that they spend out on.
So, say you thought we're going to set up a housing co-op.
Yeah.
You just left the room and thought that was a good idea. You would sit down and work out the sort of squishy, fluffy bits that we've covered so far, like working out what you want and how you want to do it. You would then register with the... Are we co-ops housing these days? Yeah. You would register as a co-op. So it's a legal entity made up of its members, and you could do that before you join Radical Roots or after. It doesn't really matter. If you do it when you join Radical Roots, you can get Catalyst Collective to do it, but you can contact them anyway and ask them to do it, and they just do it cheaper and efficiently, and they're amazing. You would get together, work out what you wanted to do, register, go looking for property, go looking for somewhere to live, look at as many places as you possibly can, because the more you look at, the better you get at looking at them.
Mm.
When you find one that you want, you would... This is just the co-op. I'll bring in the Radical Roots stuff in a second.
Yeah.
You would go looking for loan stock and put in your own money and get a mortgage. Buy the property, pay your rent, pay off the mortgage, live the dream. If any one of you wants to leave, you find someone else to replace. So say you put 10 grand of your savings in, as 10 grand for 10 years as loan stock, and 2 weeks in you went, I don't like this, and left. You would still get your money back, but at the end of those 10 years. Same way as if you put 10 grand in for 10 years and never moved out for the rest of your life, you get the money back and then you put it back in if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So where Radical Roots comes in is if, instead of going out this room and starting the co-op straight away and doing all of that, you went, oh, maybe we'll go ask these Radical Roots people. You would turn up at a gathering as a group of people, go, hello, we want to be a co-op. At that point, you just sort of wander around and chat to people and get the wealth of their knowledge. And if you left that being like, yes, this is what we want to do, you could register us as a housing co-op. I think it costs about 325 quid to do it through Catalyst Collective, but they sort of do all the paperwork for you and then drop you a certificate and you're legal and happy. And then you would... To become full members, you have to attend 3 gatherings consecutively with all of your co-op members being like coming to at least one of them, and attend workshops on like how finances work in a co-op, introduction to Radical Roots, introduction to consensus decision-making, just so that you've got an idea of what you're getting yourself into emotionally. You present yourselves as a co-op, and then at your last, at the third one, the last one, you would enter into the agenda for that gathering. It's a brief blurb saying who you are and apply for membership. So present yourself, say who you are, what you do, what your plan is in brief, answer questions, and then be accepted or not, as the case may be. At that point, should you be accepted as members, you can apply for a loan. So how Radical Roots works, the money side of it, it's not Radical Roots that gives you the money. There's Radical Roots and there's Rootstock. And Rootstock is its own little animal, where people pay shares into it. So every Radical Roots co-op pays a pound share into Rootstock.
Yeah.
So they're all shareholders of Rootstock. And then anyone, pretty much, can put money into Rootstock for a period of time, for a period of interest. If a co-op turns up at Radical Roots and goes, we'd like a loan, please. If it's accepted by Finance Group, who are a group of people who are very good at finance, who check the loans and know what they're doing, so they can check the loans and make sure they don't default. So I think in the 24, 25 years that Radical Roots has been going, no one's defaulted yet. It's not been a bad loan.
That's really impressive.
Which doesn't mean it's safe and secure, yeah. But it's, you know,
yeah.
Pretty good code.
Well, yeah.
So if it is approved by then Radical Roots gets the money from Rootstock and loans it to the co-op. Because otherwise Radical Roots would be a bank.
How much money do you roughly get? Like, is it different for different people or for what you need sort of thing? Is it just money to help you with paying the deposit? Is it money to help you set up the co-op? You know,
people
like,
have loans to... it's expected if you've got money that you put it into your co-op, because why do you need Radical Roots loan if you've got your own money?
Yeah.
But basically you can get a loan towards your deposit.
It's more of a set up.
It's set up, but like Ned's in Nottingham had a loan about 3 years ago for having solar PV panels. People really Cornerstone has just renewed a loan so that it can give a pile of money to a co-op that's struggling and needs. Pretty much as long as it's a solid loan for a good reason, and Finance Group approves it.
In terms of putting your own money, the way I understand, tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I mean, because it's a cooperative structure, then a group will put different amounts of money in, but it doesn't give them any different rights.
No.
So that's the first point, just to be clear about that. If somebody leaves, you know, what you're saying is they get their loan stock money back. That's a cash value, though, isn't it, in effect? It's not a property value, for instance. So, in effect, you know what I mean? Property values, because you've got property which you, in effect, jointly own as a cooperative, and then you rent it to your members, who also have a vote in managing the care. So the only problem with that is, as I understand it, is because property values go up.
If you and put 10 grand in, you're still going to get 10
once
grand.
Once you leave, you're only leaving with
it's
the
not
cash
the,
value,
it's,
you're not leaving
yeah.
with the proportional value of the property value, you know, which is, you know,
the,
a problem. Well, it could be a problem for some people.
The way that it's handled with a lot of groups is that, say a co-op did bomb, or people wanted to wind one up, they investors get there first. Roots loans get their second, and co-op members get their third. Whatever's left goes back into the cooperative movement. Otherwise, you get a situation where people clap it back. So they force a co-op to wind up
so they
can take the money.
Yeah, but even if it doesn't wind up, we've still got people leaving. We have to make a comment